recognize these promises, that they're directly from God, and that in understanding and embracing these promises, you'll find strength and you'll find courage, and you will understand Him to be God, our heart. The seven promises of God. Look with me at Psalm 91, verse 14. The first part there says, "The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me." The first promise, God rescues those who love Him. God rescues those who love Him. Here's basically what He's saying. He says, look, for those that love me, I'm either going to pull you out of your trouble or I'm going to pull you through your trouble with your faith intact. I'm either going to pull you out of it or I'm going to pull you through it. And when you get on the other side, you're not going to be haggard. You're not going to be ragged looking. But instead, because I myself am the Lord, I'm going to rescue you. And when you get finished with this thing, your faith will be intact. In that, my friend, you can be confident. For those that love me, He says, I will rescue you. Now notice what the qualifier is there now. The qualifier is this: I will rescue those who love me. I will rescue those who love me. Mark chapter 12, verses 29 and 30 says this. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture, but I think it bears an understanding in this particular context. Mark 12, 29 through 30 says this. Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this. You must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and all of your strength." So now the question is this. When it comes to rescue time, the question is this. Do you love Him? It's a pretty simple qualifier, but it is an important qualifier nonetheless. So the question is, do you love Him? Do you love Him with your heart? Do you love Him with your emotions and your passions? Do you love Him that way? Do you love Him with your soul, your inmost being, that real you? Because remember, the body's just passing away. The emotions come and go. The question is, do you love Him with your soul? Do you love Him with the whole core of who you are, the real you? Do you love Him with your mind, with your thinking, with your intentions, with your intellect? Do you love Him that way? Do you love Him with your strength? With all of your effort, with all of your energy. Boy, that sounds like a pretty high bar. Look, understand this. God, He knows who He's dealing with. He understands exactly who He's dealing with. And so He's not laying out this standard there where He demands absolute, perfect, sinless perfection in how we love Him. That's not what He's saying at all. The question is this: do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me in the way where all of who you are is bent and tilted towards me? Do you love me that way? Do you love Him with all that you are? Do you love Him in all of the areas of your life? Again, we're not talking sinless perfection here, but do you love Him? You know, people would say, well, I love the Lord, but I've got so far to go. We understand that. We all have far to go. But you already said, and you've already qualified because you said you love Him. Do you love Him? If you love Him, the Scripture says He will rescue you. Turn your heart towards the Lord. Turn your efforts, turn your intentions, turn your mind, turn your emotions towards the Lord. Just love Him right where you are. In the simplicity of your life, just love Him. And the Scripture says you can be confident that He'll rescue you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's a second promise that we find in this passage, also in verse 14. It says, the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. And then here you go. I will protect those who trust in my name. Do you think it's accidental that in the first two verses, He gave us His name? Because now He's coming back and saying, for those who trust in my name, I will protect you. The second promise, God protects those who trust in His name. Protection, it carries this idea. He will shield you. He will cover you. He will surround you. He will hedge you in He will place a barrier around you. He will protect you. And so look, yes, I understand. We're going to take the appropriate precautions. We're going to wear masks. We're going to wear the gloves. We're going to keep our distance physically. I understand all of that. I'm not advocating that anyone just throw caution to the wind and just be reckless in the way they live their life. But listen, you can go to the grocery store when you need to go to the grocery store, and you can feel protected. You can be confident that God will protect you because you trust in His name. He is my strong tower. He is my safe place. He is my shield. He is my protection. In that, I can be confident. I'm going to do what I know I can do, but there's a lot of things that a mask won't protect you from. There's a lot of things that gloves are not going to protect you from. But He can protect me from all things. He has got me fenced in. He's got me sheltered. He's got me shielded. I'm covered by His hand. For those that trust in that unchanging, covenant-keeping God, if you trust in His name, the Scripture says you can be confident that He will protect you. Amen. Hallelujah. He's going to rescue you. He's going to protect you. Praise the Lord. There's a third promise that I want us to see here. This is in verse 15. It says, when they call on me, I will answer. It is a promise of God. You can be confident according to His... Remember, this is God Himself speaking. This is not someone else's idea of what God might be thinking. God Himself is revealing to us His own intentions towards His people. He says, when they call on me, I will answer. Jesus speaking in the Beatitudes said this, if you will ask, you will receive. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be open to you. He says it here in the Psalms, when you call on me, I will answer. Now that word for call, that word for, we say God answers those who pray. It's not just this casual, now I lay me down to sleep, or God is great, God is good. Now that's fine, I'm not fussing with all of that. And neither am I disregarding this idea where we just kind of mull on it and meditate on the things of the Lord and just kind of whisper prayers throughout our day. Those are wonderful things and we ought to do that. But that's not what this says. It says when they call on me, Lord, I'm calling on you now. We're out of options. We have nowhere else to go. There are no answers anywhere. We're calling on you. If you don't do it, it's not going to get done. When we call on Him that way, He says, I will answer you. It is a calling out to God. It is a crying out to God. It is a lifting your voice. It's really pouring yourself into prayer. When we do that, the Scripture says, I will answer. We can be confident that He will answer. Amen. And I will tell you this. One thing I have found, and I think anybody else who's lived with the Lord and for the Lord any length of time, you can testify to this as well. God may not answer according to the way you think He should and when you think He should, but He always answers on time, and He always answers perfectly. You see, He understands the things about you and your situation that you can't understand. He understands my situation in ways that even I don't know it, even though I'm living with it. But when I call out to God, He sets in motion a plan to answer according to His good pleasure and according to my good. Scripture says you can be confident when you call on His name, He will answer. Praise God. So now the first three promises, we know that God will rescue us. We know that God will protect us. We know when we call on Him, He will answer. The fourth statement, the fourth promise that we see from this scripture is also in verse 15. It says this, when they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will be with them in trouble. I know we're all shut up in our homes. We're all isolating ourselves in our homes or in small places, and we're not really getting to spend a lot of social time with people. And what can happen if we're not careful in those kinds of situations? We can feel isolated. We can start feeling alone. we can start feeling abandoned. How many of you know you don't have to be in just completely by yourself to feel alone? You can be, even be among your own family, but if the enemy starts working in your mind, he can start convincing you you've been abandoned. God has forsaken you. Look at you. You're all holed up in your home there, all quivering in the corner, full of fear. You're abandoned. God has left you alone. Where is this God that you proclaim? Listen to what God says. Listen to what God says. I will be with them in trouble. Now notice he acknowledges right away, you will have trouble. In this world, you will have difficulty. He's not saying ignore it and pretend it's not there. No, he's saying, even in the midst of your trouble, understand this. Here's my promise to you. In this you can be confident. I will be with you. Boy, just to know that God hasn't walked away from me. Just to know he's not turned a deaf ear. Just to know he's not unconcerned and calloused towards me and my family and you and your family. Just to know that God is still there. It's no wonder that when announcing the good news of the coming of Christ, he said, you will call his name Emmanuel. He's not just God near us. He's not just God beside us. He's actually God with us. He's with you. You may feel abandoned by family. You may feel abandoned by your job and your co-workers. You may feel alone and completely walked away from, but understand this. Here's what God would say to you. In this, my friend, you can be confident today. He says, I will be with them in trouble. You might feel alone. You might feel abandoned. But, God says, I am with you. Hallelujah. Nobody else might be with you. You might feel like you're walking this whole struggle alone. Understand this. God is with you. That's a promise, and in that promise, you can take comfort. Praise the Lord. There's a fifth statement I want us to look at. This one is also in verse 15. It says, I will rescue. There it is again. Does it seem like God might want to rescue us? He keeps saying that to us. I think we can be confident that he wants to rescue us. But here's the rest of it. It says this, I will rescue and honor them. Rescue and honor them. Now, when you look up that word honor, it carries this idea. Here's the idea that is conveyed with that word honor. It means to give weight to something. It means to add to something. Here's what he's saying to us. Here's what he's saying. In this time, he's not just going to drag you through kicking and screaming. He's not just going to drag you through this thing barely hanging on by the skin of your teeth. Instead, even in this time of difficulty, he says, I'm going to add to you. I'm going to heap abundance upon you. I believe that even in this season of difficulty, I really believe this. He tells us he's going to honor us. He's going to give weight to us. He's going to add to us. I believe that he's going to pour out in abundance on us, and he's going to add to our faith. He's going to add to our wisdom. He's going to add to our maturity. He's going to add to our influence. He's going to add opportunities. He's going to add resources. Ha! Oh, man, I'd like to camp out right there for a little while. Get that through your mind. It's not just, oh, Lord, oh, we can make it. When I get through with this thing, I'm not going to look like much. Nonsense. The scripture says he will honor you. He's going to add to you. You're going to be stronger when it's all said and done. You're going to be more mature when it's all said and done. You're going to have more wisdom, more understanding. He's going to bring more opportunities and influence into your life. I even believe, now this sounds contrary to everything we're hearing, but because the scripture says he will honor us, he will add weight to us, he's going to increase us, I believe there'll be folks that come through this thing financially more secure than they were when they went in. You see, that's the kind of God. It's counterintuitive, but his ways are not our ways. Rest assured, my friend, you can take confidence. He's telling you, I'm not assuming this on God's behalf. I'm not trying to put words in his mouth. He's spoken this out of his own mouth. I will honor them. Woo. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. Amen. When it's all over, when this current crisis is, listen, there'll be another one right on its heels. Don't get me wrong. I understand. We're living in the end times. I get it. Could it be that God is positioning you individually and your family? Could it be that God is positioning the body of Christ and putting strength and increasing us in this season for what is to come? I believe that. We're going to come through this thing not just barely making it, but we're going to come through with abundance because God's going to honor us. Amen? I believe that with all of my heart. Amen. There's a sixth promise I want to draw your attention to. In verse 16, it says this, I will reward them with long life. I will reward them with long life. The sixth promise is this, God rewards those who love him with long life. Now look, I understand this may be a little bit of a sensitive subject because we actually do have people in hospitals that their physical life is wasting away from them. I do know we've had people around in this country, in this community, around the world, we have people who have actually perished. Their physical life has ended as a result of this virus that's going on. And I'm not trying to make light of that at all. Please understand, that's not my intention. But I want you to hear what God's disposition is on this. When you look up that phrase, long life, here's actually the way we should understand it. I will reward them with forever life. It even carries the idea that we read of in the New Testament, the idea of full life. It's the enemy who's come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly, that you might have full life, that you might have full life. And so here's the promise. Here's the confidence you can take. God rewards those who love him with long life. My friend, even if you live to be 100, in the light of eternity, it's just a blip on the radar. And so when he says to us, those who love me, those who place their trust in me, those who cling to my promises, those who are mine and who find shelter in my great name, for those folk, for those people, I'm going to give them forever life. I'm going to give them full life. You see, here's the thing. Whether we're talking about forever life in eternity with God or whether we're talking about our own physical life right now, understand this. It's God himself who marks our days. It's God who marks our days. It's God who determines our destiny. And so if I live another day, if I live another week, another year, another decade, if however long I live, that's his business. In this world. But understand this, the scripture says, for those that are in Christ, when we're absent from this body, we're present with the Lord. Again, I'm not trying to make light of anyone's uncertainty. I'm not trying to make light of anyone's heartache because they may have lost someone physically. But if that person who passed knows the Lord, they have entered into forever life. Hear what the scripture says. You don't need to fear. You don't need to fear what man may do to the body. You don't need to be fearing what a virus may do to the body. For he walks on eternity. He's already marked my days. He's already determined when I'm born and when I shall pass. It's already established. I don't have to walk around in fear. He has determined for me because I love him. I can be confident in this fact that he has established and he has rewarded me with forever life. Amen. Amen. The final promise I want us to look at, promise number 7. The seventh statement that God himself makes is there also in verse 16. It says this, I will reward them with long life and I will give them my salvation. I will give them my salvation. Now, for those of us that are in the church, especially those of us that may be evangelistically inclined, we sometimes want to immediately jump to the idea of being saved versus being lost. Salvation from sin And this statement certainly means that. But in this context, it is not restricted and only limited to being saved as opposed to being lost. He says, for those who love me, I will give them not only long life, but I will reward them, I will give them my salvation. It's not just salvation from sin, but it is a salvation, it is a rescue, it is a redemption from any circumstance in which we find ourselves. I'm in trouble. God, save me. He'll save you. I'm in difficulty. Lord, I'm full of fear. I'm full of uncertainty. My life, it seems like I've been abandoned. I just don't know what's going on, God. It seems like my whole world is falling apart. Lord, save me. He will save you. Be confident in that, my friend. Remember, He's there. He's with you. He's with you. He's ready to save. And so we understand this idea of salvation. It's He has saved me. And even right now in my current situation, He's saving me still today. And when it's all said and done, He shall save me and preserve me forever. Hallelujah. Take confidence in these promises of God. He rescues those who love Him. He protects those who trust in His name. He answers those who will call out to Him. He is with us in trouble. He honors those who love, trust, and pray to Him. God rewards those who love Him with long life. And God gives salvation to those who love Him. You can be confident. God, our confidence. But now listen. I can't close this out without giving this opportunity. Doctor, could you come? I can't close this out without giving this opportunity. If you're not in the position, if you're not in a situation where you're in relationship with Him, if you've not encountered Him as the God of those first two verses, if you don't know Him as your refuge, if you don't know Him as your place of safety and shelter, if you don't know Him in that way, my friend, you've got every reason to fear. My friend, if you don't understand Him and if you don't know Him as your source of strength and as your rock of salvation, if you don't know Him that way, you have no reason for confidence. You're vulnerable. But I can tell you today, if you'll place your trust in Him, if you'll run to Him with your fears, if you'll run to Him with your failures, you just don't know what I've done. You're right, I don't know what you've done, but He knows exactly what you've done, and He's still calling out to you. Run to me with all of your heart, He would say. Run to me with your fears and your worries and your anxieties. He's a strong shelter. He's a rock of salvation. He's a place of refuge for you. My friend, if you don't know Him today, if you don't know Him today, you have no reason to be confident. But we can fix that. We can take this opportunity, even across the internet, even across the airways, we can take this opportunity and we can nail that down. He wants you to turn to Him today. He doesn't want you to live your life in fear, crippled and paralyzed by fear. He wants you to find confidence and strength in a relationship with Him today. Dear God, I would pray for that one that's listening. They don't know You. They have found themselves over these past several weeks just overcome with fear, overcome with panic and worry. They feel like their whole life is crumbling and nothing is stable. Lord, I pray today that You would give them a revelation of who You are. Give them an understanding of just how awesome and powerful and strong You are and just how willing You are for them to run to You and find hope and find shelter and find confidence. Lord, for that one that is uncertain today, Lord, give them an assurance that they can run to You with their whole heart. Even with their failures and their weaknesses, let them know that You'll receive them just as they are. And that You'll change them and place confidence in their life and hope and peace. And they can have rest when they run to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Look, if you need help, if you're not sure where you stand with God, I would encourage you, go to our Facebook page. Go to our website. Send us an email. Call us. Do something. Somebody who's listening right now has my phone number. Get in touch with us. We want to help you. We want to help you. I want to bless you today before we sign off. I want to bless you with an increase, just as that psalm said, just as God said of himself, just as God said of himself. He wants to honor you. He wants to increase you. He wants to add to you during this time. And so that's my blessing for you as well, that God would bless you and increase your effectiveness, increase your faith, increase your witness, increase your opportunities, that you'll be stronger in the Lord when it's all said and done than you are right today. I bless you in that name, in that way, right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, before we go, I want to let you know we're going to be having a service on Wednesday as well. It's going to be a little less formal than this. Probably look something similar to what we did this past Wednesday. But I want to encourage you, hear this, I want to encourage you, tune in, and when you do, have with you the elements of communion. Cracker, piece of bread, something that can represent the body of Christ. Have with you something that can represent the shed blood of Christ. Grape juice, orange juice, it's a symbol. Something that you can, Gatorade, whatever it is. Something that you can use to represent the broken body and shed blood of Christ. We're going to take communion together on Wednesday. So when we meet together at 7 o'clock on Wednesday, have those elements ready. We're going to share communion over the airways next Wednesday. Amen. Hey, we love you. God bless you. Give us a call if we can help you any way at all. Physically separated, yes. But socially separated, no. We want to stay in connection one with another. God bless you. God bless you is our prayer today. Amen. Amen. God bless you.